Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week we're going to take a look at MLW Confusion 176. We are back in Tijuana, but before then, let's do a once-over of the news, shall we? Oh, first, and possibly most importantly, of course, MLW likes to do their big announcements on Fridays, and I also like to do my podcast drops on Fridays, usually pretty early in the morning. They like to do theirs slightly later in the morning, just to show me up, and they did it well this week with the announcement of Maki Ito debuting for MLW. I'm a fan of her quite vulgar work in the likes of AEW and over in Japan. Plus, she's done a lot of work recently for Game Changer Wrestling out east as well. She'll be making her debut at Fury Road, taking on international pop superstar Becca. Oh, it is going to be a battle of the pop superstars. I can't wait to see how this match is going to go. It's going to be insane in the best way possible, in my humble opinion. I am a stan, ladies and gentlemen, and this match, I don't know how I can stan any harder for life, but they're going to make me do it. Standing so hard right now that, like, the next announcement is just going to be a letdown, like, regardless of what it is. Okay, cool. They've announced a stipulation for the Matt Cardona-Mance Warner match at Fury Road, and it will be Kiss My Foot. Oh, that's like a match I haven't seen in like 30 years. So the added stipulation to this here match is whoever loses the match has to kiss the foot of the winner. Party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth. And last but not least, announced today, Akira will be taking on Jimmy Lloyd in a street fight at Fury Road. Of course, we have to have at least one big hardcore brawl at these here events, and at least in terms of the MLW roster, there are no better guys to do it, really better than Jimmy Lloyd and Akira. This will be, at least television-wise, Jimmy Lloyd's singles debut for the company, and he will be taking on the middleweight and one half of the World Tag Team Champions, representing the calling, Akira. Of course, Fury Road is going to be held in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at the 2300 Arena. It will also be on Fight TV, or excuse me, Fight Plus. Not just Fight TV, Fight Plus. These matches go along with the announcement that Alex Kane will be defending his championship against Willie Mack. And also scheduled to appear is the rest of the Beaumaye Fight Club, National Openweight Champion Jacob Fatu, the rest of the calling. They just randomly chose to include Akira in this here list again, but Ricky Shady Page as well, Hot Sauce, Tracy Williams, The One Called Manders, Matthew Justice, Snitsky, Matt Stryker, Joe Dombrowski, Mr. St. Laurent, and much, much more. All right, so got that news out of the way. Still standing hardcore over that Maki Ito news after that. But we have some Fusion to cover. This is taped in Tijuana. This is like several months old, like everything else. But, you know, we'll see the effect it has on our storylines and whatnot. But we start off backstage with Sam Laterna. She is with Willie Mack. He has a terminal case of chocolate thunder fever. Everyone around him gets it, and he's going to get himself a world championship opportunity at Fury Road when he is interrupted by the champ himself, Alex Kane. He confronts Willie Mack, calls him a hoe, and gets the taste slapped out of his mouth. Or the slap tasted out of his mouth, whichever way you prefer to use those idioms. Anywho, we are in Tijuana. We are welcomed to the show by Joe Dombrowski. He's with Chris Cole. There we go. Christian Cole. I had to think about it because they didn't introduce themselves, and I just had to remember who the guy was from the last batch of Mexico tapings. So that's going to be our commentary team tonight. We are opening with the World Heavyweight Champion, Alex Kane. And then our main event will be trios action. But we'll get to that here in a bit. So, as I said, we're opening the show with Alex Kane. He is taking on Delirious. For those of you who haven't seen Delirious in action, you're in for a treat because he's Delirious. Bell rings and he's just diving around in the ring, just trying to get his hands on Kane. It's not working. Kane takes him down. However, Delirious gets Kane into the corner with some rapid-fire kicks and punches. That is stopped short, though, by a throat thrust and a back suplex by Kane. Foot stomp and a pup handle suplex by Kane as well. We go to the break, and when we come back, he's just trying to demask Delirious, and this, like, is a big no-no in Mexico. This really brings out the air horns, which is just... spoiler alert, if you haven't watched this yet, the air horns are running rampant and they are utterly obnoxious. So it's not going to get any better from here. Delirious counters the suplex attempt with one of his own, misdirection clothesline, panic attack, and shadows over hell. I'll get a two count. Delirious goes for the Cobra stretch, but some rando guy that evidently is part of the international faction de Beaumaye hops up on the ring apron. Kane accidentally takes that guy out. However, Kane still gets the advantage, hits the crash landing suplex to get the win. And I think it was non-title, but we'll just pretend he defended his championship anyway. Your winner, MLW World Heavyweight Champion, Alex Kane. Absolutely serviceable match for the two competitors. Last week, Kane called this an exhibition match, and it certainly was that. Obviously, there was, like, really, outside of that stretch with the panic attack and Shadows Over Hell, really no threat to Kane in terms of, like, the him losing the match. But we got to see all of Delirious's greatest hits. Did think, like, the Beaumaye guy was kind of weird because commentary didn't really reference him at all until he just like jumped up on the ring apron. So if I hadn't noticed him running around with an American flag earlier, I almost would have thought like someone from the crowd tried to jump in the ring. But otherwise, as I said, it was a serviceable match, showed off what both competitors could do. Got a lot of air horns, so if you love air horns, this is the show for you. Show for you. From here, we go to the rehash of the MLW draft, specifically draft pick number 2, being presented by Mr. Saint Laurent. It, of course, is the demo god. Oh, that's Chris Jericho. Which nickname am I using here? Oh, yes. Deathmatch King, the indie god, Matt Cardona, the major player, the agent. He is the second pick of the draft, and he is the first pick of Mr. Saint Laurent's World Titan Federation. Of course, they ran afoul of the second gear crew once Mr. Saint Laurent kicked Microman to the curb. This leads to Mance Warner taking on Matt Cardona, and it's being announced as a Kiss My Foot match, so which we covered at the top of the show. Goes into Cardona promo. He's not kissing any feet. No way. No how. Also, he has come to MLW to get the championships, to get the money. He's not passing a torch. He is lighting his own torch, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to take a brief pause for the cause, get ourselves an energy drink. I'm going to chug it. Even though I'm not as negative as I was last week, we're going to chug it anyway. I'll catch you all un momento. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So also, be like CASS, drink Raise Energy. And we are back. We get a sit-down profile of Willie Mack talking about his early life in East St. Louis, covering his time traveling the world, his quasi-failed WWE tryout, where they did, like, attempt to sign him, and then, you know, rescinded that offer, and kind of like the down times that he had after that. But how it's overall like given him the opportunity to get better, and get him where he's at now. Following that, we get a nifty little video package swirling about the universe. We are going to be entering the realm soon. I have no clue what that is about, who that is technically for. I mean, if I sit down and probably go over, like, some of the list of things, I could probably figure something out. That's probably our draft pick number 6, but we'll cover that here in a minute. In the meanwhile, we also have a deep dive with Delmi Exo. Talks about her early life, and we'll call it early fandom of professional wrestling, even though she kind of like acknowledges she wasn't much of a fan. Talking about her early training, and eventually kind of getting deep with her relationship with her father and his diagnosis of cancer while she was trying to work and train in Japan. Really well done. If anything, I would have liked it to be longer, but you know, the show can't be very long, and we got another match. We got the main event coming up here pretty darn soon. Anyway, so we go from a super serious deep dive to international pop sensation Becca. She wants to know where her match with Delmi is. She accosts a backstage worker, and just like, where is she? Where's my match? And he's like, well, Delmi's in Germany. She's defending the WXW championship. And Becca's like, why? Why? My pops, my newest pop single is number one in the charts of Tijuana, and we're going to capitalize on it by doing nothing. She's dodging me. Great. Go be useless elsewhere, Mr. Dude. Speaking of useless, it is time for our next draft pick, number 6 in the MLW draft. And it is, I don't know if you can pick that up, but I'm drum rolling here on my desk. It is number 1 Ichiban. So. Oh, man. It's another guy they already announced for MLW tapings. Great. This is seriously frustrating for me as someone who likes continuity and some things that kind of make sense. And no shame or shade intended towards Mr. Ichiban. I'm not familiar with his work. I am excited to see what he can do in an MLW ring. But if you've announced a guy who to participate in a set of tapings that have already happened, you're not really drafting him now, are you? And before you try to argue with me, the answer is no. Thank you. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I suppose we'll cover this next week with the Urban Wrestling Network. Stay tuned for that one. It'll be a party as I repeat myself ad nauseum and also try to put over Ichiban in the meanwhile. All right, so done being grumpy about that. Let's go to our main event, shall we? It is trios action as Genio del Aire, Excalibur, and Dynamico, Team Mexicali, take on the makeshift team of Willie Mack, Jack Cartwheel, and Mysticis Jr. Interesting little, you know, tidbit, as Jack Cartwheel is starting to make his way around America, getting a name for himself, which I accidentally covered him, I don't know, like last year, maybe, as part of Confusion when we were doing the Indie Spotlights. So you can dig back and check that out. I forget which episode that is because I am old, and if I don't record something right after I see it, it just goes away forever. Also noted is that they, up until at least this match, and commentary, they try to play off Mysticis Jr. as the original, at least name-wise. He is not the original. He is the brother of the original, the former Sin Cara, Místico. He is Mysticis Jr., by the way. As the bell rings, things break down, as they tend to do in trios matches. We eventually get Willie Mack and Dinamico paired off. Not for long, though, because Willie Max gotta dance. And he keeps dancing through the break. We finally get back, and he is getting triple teamed. The Rudos make Mysticees take out Mac with some variation of the Yoshi Tonic. From there, they triple team Jack Cartwheel. We get a breaking news as someone with John Hennigan tights is being abducted by guys not wearing the usual Lucha Goon masks. So I guess we don't have John Morrison anymore. Yeah, so Morrison's gone. Johnny Mundo, Johnny MLW, Johnny Fusion, John Hennigan, whatever we're calling him. But I'm getting sidetracked by this. But yeah, so we got some guys running off with Hennigan. So I guess he's going off into the abyss with Cesar Duran as well. So also suppose next week we'll have some guy that kind is wearing Sam Adonis tights get drug away as well, just to keep this here theme going. As this is all going on, Cartwheel gets some flashy moves in, but the Rudos take him down. Willie Max back in. He gets triple teamed for his efforts. Mac dodges some attacks, allowing the Technicos to flip about the ring. We go to break and we come back. It is 3-on-1 on Namco. Excalibur breaks up a German suplex pin attempt and gets beaten down for his efforts. Genio breaks another pin attempt. We get tandem Rudo pins, only for a two count. Those guys aren't happy about that and left the referee know it. Stereo Shooting Star presses plus a powerbomb by Willie Mac. So we get a triple tandem pin attempt that only gets two. Technicos dive upon the Rudos that are outside the ring, except for Jack Cartwheel, who gets stopped by Dynamico. He gets distracted though as two gentlemen that whose names I didn't write down come to the ring. Evidently there's this big to do between like actual Mexican wrestlers and people that are considered Mexicali, and they have their own little stables, so that's a thing down in Tijuana. And these guys that showed up are actually like the full-blooded air quotes Mexicans, but they offer distraction to Dinamico, allowing the Technicos Cartwheel specifically to get some offense in his little Cartwheel DVD, followed up by a spiral tap, gets Cartwheel the victory for his team. All the chaos in that match, all the flippies, all the flops. It was fun. If you could just put it everything on mute and so you couldn't hear the air horns, because the air horns were so much worse this match, and it really brought things down at a certain level, and like, but I can't blame MLW for that one, because that really, like, outside of muting the crowd in its entirety, like, there's nothing they could really do about it. But otherwise, like, as you know, if you like the Lucha stylings, it was a fun match. Once again, like, there was just some little extra stuff going on that maybe could have been explained a little bit better, like, before it happened, to add things up. But whoa, we're not done. We go outside, and the Callings gas mask goons are attacking SST members Juicy Finau and Lance Anawai. They lock Juicy indoors and triple team Lance outside, holding him down as they hit him with like a lead pipe or something and just decimate him. So Calling and SST are ramping things up once again, possibly leading to the National Overweight Championship match in the future. That is how we are going to end the show, with that there beating. Overall, like, once again, like, it was a mixed bag, I felt. Obviously the crowd brought things down, and the fact that this footage is pretty darn old as well didn't help things. But in ring was a lot of fun overall. The deep dives they did with Del Miexo and Willie Mac were very well done as well, and I wish that if this wasn't a wrestling program, like, I wish they'd gone on a bit longer. I almost wish that they would be fleshed out a little bit and can do like a full mini doc, give them like a full 15 minutes apiece, because that was really interesting, I thought. But otherwise, yeah, in ring, a lot of stuff happened, so it made the show solid enough, despite some of my misgivings. Again, the crowd, MLW can't quite control. The draft, honestly, in my humble opinion, is a joke at this time. But once again, like, MLW's real strength is the in-ring action, and they got some stuff going on for them leading up to Fury Road. Again, Matt Cardona, regardless of what your opinions are about him, he is a big deal on the indie scene, so he's going to lend some street cred to MLW. And, you know, if you're not a fan of Maki Ito, not only are you dead to me, but I legit, like, don't think you have a pulse either. Anyway, so, yep, I got on my soapbox again. Probably should wind that part down. In the meanwhile, you know, thank you all for listening. Check out the boys at the Urban Wrestling Network, Urban Wrestle NW on YouTube, whatever. They're on top of things. We drop, you know, 1 to 4 videos. We've been doing short dives a week. Though last week, Muffins and Bodhi had a sit down with MLW champ Alex Kane. So be sure to check that out on the YouTubes, Urban Wrestle NW. In the meanwhile, for at my end, of course, you know, stay tuned so you can hear the plugs and the best ways to support this here small podcast. In the meanwhile, I'll see you guys next week. MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and hosted by Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network. You can check out the Underground Rundown on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, because word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts. My social media links can be found in the descriptor below, but the Twitter and Instagram are at the Nova of Cass. That's THENOVAOFCASS, and MLW Confusion can be found on Facebook at MLW Confusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual tip jar at ko-fi.com/Casanova. That's CASSONOVA. If you prefer more bang for your buck, go to patreon.com/Casanova. For as little as $1, Patreon backers get access to the podcast early and without those pesky ads, plus other exclusive content. So join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn and Alan Schroeder and check it out. You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merchandise at the Confusion Podcast store on Teespring. You can find that link below as well. For all business inquiries such as ads, sponsorship, and other voiceover work, please email at rzcammer@comcast.net. Kammer is spelled K-A-M-E-R-E-R. Thank you all for listening.